Give me a break. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. Today, I have a story. I tell you a lot of stories. Why would I do that? Well, stories, listening to stories, is really the centerpiece of comprehensible input. It is arguably the best way to absorb a new language. If you can follow these stories and understand in general terms what's occurring, then you will absorb the language. You can't stop it. It's the way the human brain evolved. It's the way the human brain works. We absorb language through messages that we can understand, and a story is a big collection of understandable messages. The trouble, of course, is when you're listening to a story, you can't sense that anything's actually happening. After all, you're not struggling, you're not striving, you're not memorizing, you're not preparing for a test. But those old traditional approaches to language learning failed us for decades. So today I have a story for comprehensible input. Now, these stories are part of a playlist, but I try to make each story in a way that it is freestanding. People can watch the entire playlist and see how one story leads to another, or you can just watch a single story, and in general terms, it should make sense. Today we join David and Chris. They're going to go to work. Chris pulls up at David's house and finds David standing on the sidewalk, ready to jump in the car. When David got into the car on the passenger side, he greeted Chris with a simple good morning. This greeting was returned, and they zoomed off toward work with Chris at the wheel. After about a minute of silence as they drove, Chris turned to David and asked, "How did your big meeting with the doctor go?" Unfortunately, David was a little anxious about this topic, and the casual way the question was asked left some latitude for interpretation. So when David heard that question, he misinterpreted its sentiment. He misinterpreted the actual meaning, and he thought that perhaps he was being mocked. He thought that maybe Chris was making fun of him for having a meeting with the doctor to talk about career choices. Now, as it turns out, that was not the intention. Chris is a very sincere guy and a good friend, and he did not intend mockery. No, he was just asking a simple question. How did the meeting go with the doctor? Because of this misunderstanding, David said, "Oh, give me a break." Chris was surprised by that. So he clarified, "No, I'm serious. How did your meeting go with the doctor?" David simmered down, realizing that he probably wasn't being mocked. It was just an innocent question. So he answered the question. He said, "Well, it was a good meeting. He spent a lot of time with me, but now I have more questions than I had when I went in. Now I don't know what to do when it comes time to register for classes in a couple of weeks. Should I register for more business classes and maybe take accounting? Or should I register for biology and chemistry? At this point, I'm screwed. I just don't know. What's worse is I don't know how to figure it out. I'm going to have to make a decision, and it's not that far off." There was a pause in the conversation. Chris was thinking. He realized that he had been misunderstood when he asked his initial question, so he wanted to speak fairly precisely and not be misunderstood again. After this pause, he said, "Well, I don't see it that way." He continued, "When you register for classes, you're really not choosing a career, you're choosing your future life. instead of worrying about whether to register for chemistry or accounting, why don't you think about it in a different way? Picture yourself 45 or 50 years old. You're waking up after a good night's sleep. The question is, who do you want to wake up next to? He paused, and David smiled. David had some ideas on this topic. Chris continued, but even more importantly, where do you want to be headed when you go to work? Do you want to be heading to a cubicle? Do you want to be heading to a research laboratory? Would you like to be going to a hospital? How about somebody's leaky basement? What do you really want to do every day? Because you're going to need a reason to roll out of bed. And it's a lot easier to roll out of bed and start a good day if you're heading someplace that you really love. David said, whoa, what a great thought. He continued, you know, I knew all those things, but the way you put it all together is as if you handed me the key to a lock that I've been struggling with for days. As you were saying all that, the answer came to me in a flash. Now I know what I have to do. Chris was a little surprised. He had thought that he made his points pretty clearly, but he was surprised at how well they were received. He asked, so what are you going to do now that you know? Without hesitation, David said, I'm going to call Dr. Ferguson and see if I can spend some time with him in the office, see if I can learn more about the day-to-day so that I can have a better mental image of what it will be like when I'm his age. I know I'm not him, but by studying why he can roll out of bed and go to work might help me understand my approach to that same topic. Chris accepted this answer. It was logical. The rest of their drive to work was uneventful. Chris didn't pull any more rabbits out of his hat when it came to advice for his friend. That's okay. He gave him a lot of help this morning. When they got to work, they started at the task they'd been assigned to. And pretty soon, Pete came over and took a look at what they were doing. Pete surveyed the situation, nodded, and didn't really say anything. At that point, David stood up because he was down on the floor patching holes in the floor. And he walked over to Pete and said, so Pete, you got a minute? Pete said, sure. What's up? The other day, when I was so bummed that I'd lost my day off, you said you would like to make it up to me. And I was wondering if maybe we could take a look at an option for doing that. Pete said, shoot, what can I do for you? David said, I'm not sure right now, but I'm looking into something and I'll get back to you. Basically, I'm going to need a day off. Pete said, sure, we can do that. But David clarified, but this day off can't get taken away because I'm going to stick my neck out. I'm going to commit to something and I need to make it work without a last minute cancellation. Pete said, I got it. Just give me enough notice. With enough notice, I can make it happen. Last minute stuff is going to be hard to pull off. David said, I'll give you plenty of notice. Later in the morning, David pulled his cell phone out and stepped over to the corner where he wouldn't be heard and called Dr. Ferguson's office. Dora answered the phone and he posed the question whether he could observe how the office works and what Dr. Ferguson does during the day. Dora said, let me put you on hold. I'll be right back. He was on hold for perhaps 30 seconds, which to David seemed like an hour, but it was Dr. Ferguson who came on the phone, not Dora. Dr. Ferguson said, so David, it sounds like you want to shadow me in the office. Is that what you're asking? David said, yes. Dr. Ferguson said, well, First of all, the answer is yes, and yet I've got a better idea. Now David was intrigued. What's this better idea? Dr. Ferguson explained that he had a good friend who's a trauma surgeon at the hospital. When they get off the phone, he's going to call his friend and see if they could arrange a time for David to go to the operating room and observe some trauma surgery occurring in the hospital. David asked, "You mean I could go into the operating room?" Dr. Ferguson said, "Sure, that happens all the time. The general public doesn't wander into the operating room. They have good security, but if you're invited in by a reputable surgeon, and if you are really thinking about going into medicine, it's a natural thing for you to do. It happens all the time." Dr. Ferguson asked, "Is this a good phone number for you?" David said, "It sure is." And Dr. Ferguson said, "I'll call you back later this afternoon. Let me see if I can set this up." David thanked him, and that was the end of that conversation. The rest of the workday went fairly routinely. They just worked. They just did all the tasks that had been assigned to them, and they could see very slow progress in the project. It was just before they got off work, about a quarter after three, that David's phone rang. He answered it, not recognizing the number. It was Dr. Ferguson calling David from his own cell phone. Dr. Ferguson said, "What about next Tuesday? My friend Dan, the trauma surgeon, has a list of cases to do on Tuesday, and you would be welcome to join him in the operating room." David said, "That would be fantastic. How long will I be there? I need to know to tell work." Dr. Ferguson said, "Well, you'll be in the operating room all morning, and then I thought you would come over to the office and spend the afternoon with me. Why don't you dedicate the whole day to this?" David said, "Perfect. I'll have to ask for time off at work, but I'm pretty sure I can pull this off." Dr. Ferguson said, "Okay, when you know you have the time off, send me a text at this number. That way, I can send you instructions on where to go, who to talk to." David said, "Got it. I'll do just that." He thanked him, and that was the end of that conversation. They hung up. When it was time to get off, David asked Pete about taking Tuesday off, for sure, 100%, no chance of cancellation. Pete thought for a moment and said, "Sure, make it Tuesday, it's firm, just don't come to work on Tuesday. I won't ask you to." David said, "Thanks, Pete, you're a prince." As they were driving home, again with Chris at the wheel, David was texting Dr. Ferguson. He told him that Tuesday was firm and sent the text message. 5 minutes later, he had a longer text coming back to him from Dr. Ferguson that told him where to go in the hospital and who to ask for. He needed to be there by 7 a.m. so that he could get oriented to the operating room, learn where to change his clothes, and what not to do in the operating room environment. Reading the message that he had received from Dr. Ferguson, David was thrilled. Not only is he going to get what he asked for, that is time shadowing Dr. Ferguson in the office, but he's going to be in a real operating room watching real surgery being done by a real surgeon, and it's all on the up and up. It's all okay. At this point, we'll have to wonder what sort of effect this experience will have on young David and the decisions he will have to make going forward. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.